Hello, and welcome to Focus of Fury. I'm your host, Nigel, or one of your hosts.
No, I see how it is.
Just I'm just leave talking. Right, yeah. Fuck you guys.
Oh, hey, Nick, get out of here. Fuck off.
Yeah.
B-team. Fuck that guy.
What? Son of a bitch. All right, and then the first guy at the bench on the B-team is...
Oh, fuck you.
What?
Jamie just quit.
Jesus flipped the
table. God damn it. Yeah. All right, I got to do a Hoosier speech now.
You guys
rallied up.
You got to rally us up.
Yeah.
Time to remember the Titan shit. Yeah.
What we do on this podcast echoes in eternity.
To haunt us, maybe.
Yeah. But I think I'm retarded. Okay, so we're going around. All right. I'm Casey. I play Americans.
Yep.
I'm Jamie. I also play Americans.
I'm Caleb. I play Brits.
I'm Ryan. I play Russians.
And then I play Germans.
Yeah. The Germans.
The Germans.
What are you scared of, Tommy?
He's on Team Slow Turn.
Yeah.
That's true.
Inside joke.
Yeah. We started our Flames of War Tank Aces campaign. Glorious beginning, where I got rocked in the nuts.
Yeah. To be fair, you put your nuts out there to get rocked. Just saying.
You have to sometimes. You got to stick them out there.
Yeah, that's okay. Just don't blame Todd.
Well, he plays tanks the way
Todd
he plays Sorsha.
Yeah.
You got to play tanks like you play Sorsha. Fast and loose.
It's
nuts.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Nothing wrong with loose nuts.
Wow.
Okay, and I'm done. I'm off.
I don't want to play with you guys anymore.
Yeah. So thanks. Thanks is sweet.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a pretty fun game.
No war machine, but it's
oh,
fun.
So we played. So my first game last night, right? Like I never played before, and the entire time I'm like, "This rule is stupid. That rule is stupid.
Yeah,
that rule is really stupid." And like all the rules that were really stupid in Flames of War, I was like, "They really fixed that in War Machine." And so it's kind of like a magic window into how well War Machine is made compared to other games.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically an adaptation of the 40K rules.
It's basically 40K.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'd say maybe a little bit better.
I agree.
It's definitely better.
Yeah. But
it's better, but there's some things that I don't like. It's really dicey, too.
It's so super dicey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anytime you're running off of a 1D6 system, you can't play averages anymore.
We're also at a point level that the dice, it gets exacerbated just because it's like, I have three tanks. If I fucking whiff, if you have 30 stands of infantry and they're each firing three shots, then it's like...
The dice math goes way up.
The dice math evens itself out.
Sure.
Yeah. What kind of pussy only runs three tanks in this thing?
Yeah,
what?
Russian horde.
Hey, that did not work for Beanish.
He had six.
Is Lendlease Sherman's. Did not do amazing.
No.
I think he was like popping to a turn.
It was also they're driven by Russians.
Yeah.
You know who won the game, though? Sweet Bob.
Sweet Bob. Bob won it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Jesus. He ran his one little Panzer IV in and took the objective.
God damn it. He did what I cannot do.
Yeah. He did it.
We'll have to teach him a lesson.
Yeah. Was Todd on the other side of the table playing with his laser pointer?
Yeah.
He was, actually. Yeah.
You need to make sure you got those lines of sight. It's cool.
Yeah, but as he watched me die.
Enforced time limits!
Yeah, I'm killed by the line of Shermans.
You probably deserved it.
Mm-hmm. No, I know you deserved it.
Yeah, I agree.
Damn German players.
Yeah. But, like, there's some little things about the game that kill me. It's like, you have a giant fucking Panther G, right? And I'm going over a hedgerow, and I can get stuck in the hedgerow?
Do you know how fucking big hedgerows are in real life?
Well, but
they're like 20 feet tall and like 8 feet thick.
Not the ones on the table.
Well,
okay, but real hedgerows.
But it's making a rule about hedgerows in real life. It's trying to emulate World War II.
Sure.
America tanks had to actually get hedgerow cutters to move through it.
Yeah.
They just get stuck.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. If that's the one rule you're going to bitch about, I'm going to call you a fucking idiot.
No. The one rule I'm going to bitch about is the movement, right? You basically have teleporting tanks, right? There is no movement as far as tracking left, tracking right, maneuvering within your radius of
there's no traversing,
turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no traverse at all.
Yeah.
And then you can measure from any point to any point, then move your tank that way. Mm-hmm. And then it's literally teleporting tanks. You can end in any way, shape, facing you want.
Again, it's got to be a little
It's got to be a game people want to play.
Yeah, here's the thing. They simplified everything to speed it up.
That's true. So, I mean,
have you ever played fantasy? It's miserable.
Well, yeah, because you can like you well, can actually, get like anymore. Where it's like, oh, you got a 45-degree front arc and like trying to do angles. Fuck that.
I used to play when I first started. That was a rule.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like literally, your front arc was this weird
45-degree angle
with everything, and so you had to like do these weird maneuvers to get everyone in your front.
Sure.
And the minute they're not, you get blown the fuck up.
So. Yeah. And so, it leads to a lot of arguments.
Yeah, yeah, there's that. So simplicity and like is a good thing.
Yeah, and to be fair, at 500 points, like if we actually knew what we were doing instead of dirtling around last night, it would have been
quick.
Even with six players, it would have been an hour long game at most.
Yeah.
Also,
like, your turns are like done.
We really can't judge. You really can't judge what we're doing here, this league, as Flames of War.
It's not.
You don't have infantry. You don't have artillery. You're not running objectives. You're not running.
No, it's just you can see at the core of it.
You're getting just a lot of core stuff.
You know, it's a historical miniatures game.
The big one, actually, one thing that Keith really pointed out for me is it's not the game of World War II. It's the game of the movie of World War II.
Yeah.
And it's really true.
It's a play with all the cool shit.
Yeah.
It's just that your tanks are sort of the equivalent of like a Terminator. So, and that's rules-wise, they hold up about the same, which is not bad, not good in a dice game.
Oh, you mean in terms of 40K? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, you basically have like a 2+ save, and it's tough or whatever, but it's...
Yeah, the one
costs
weird...
costs 8 times more the points.
Yeah, the one weird thing about Flames of War that caught me off guard was that all my hit rolls are not based on the skill of my dudes. It's on the shitty skill of your dudes, right?
Yeah.
So what killed me was like, okay, I tried to hit your guy, so you kind of suck, so I only need a 3+. Right.
Yep.
That guy over there really sucks. Only needed 2+ to hit him, and it's just
that guy's
a weird way to think
about
it.
Well, it like so their way of thinking is like a conscript. Your basic dude is just gonna run across a field and just get mowed down.
Yep.
Where a trained guy is like, I'm gonna use a little bit of cover and hopefully not get shot. And then your veteran guy is going to be like low crawling all the way there, sneak up and stab you in the neck,
pushing a conscript's body in front of him.
Yeah. So, I mean, like...
I like that rule, actually.
Yeah, if you think about it like that, it makes a lot of sense.
No, it does. It's just, it was kind of hard to get my brain around, considering I'm used to, like, the skill of my dude shooting at
guys. It's different.
Yeah.
So...
No, that was one of the things that kind of intrigued me about the game, was that it went from, I am super elite guys, so do I. Well, okay. What if you have shitty guys? Well, I should be able to mow you down real well.
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah. It's still based on my role. That doesn't make any sense. I like that idea. Your shit troops are for free because they're shit.
Yeah.
The Russian horde is a thing.
Hell yeah.
That's what you're in for, Ryan.
8 tanks at 500 points. But other people are running 3.
Driven by assholes.
But you're running, are you running like 8 T-34s?
T-34-85s.
Okay.
The late war ones.
No, they're a good tank, but, you know, again, they're driven by Farmer Bob and his...
Yeah.
Well, come on.
That's amazing, though.
They're trained.
Yeah. Bob's a farmer.
Not veterans, but, you know, they know which way the tank points. Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
That
trade isn't terrible.
Yeah.
As long as you know which direction to go, you're good to go.
I think Todd was running trained Panthers.
He was.
Yeah.
So sometimes in World of Tanks, you can tell when someone's trained or a conscript or a veteran, too.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you're playing on the same team with them.
I am a conscript.
Also, speaking of World of Tanks, the 8.10 update is coming. And they're adding color filters, and one of them's a World War II movie.
Holy shit, that's going to be amazing.
That actually sounds kind of sweet.
Yeah,
it's they got a bunch of cool stuff going in this next one.
Oh my god, city battles with that would be amazing.
That would be cool. If it's all black and white.
And like the turrets blow off now?
No, like the color movies.
Yeah.
The color movies. But yeah.
So,
black and white that kind of washed out
black and white
color.
It's still going to be sweet.
Yeah,
I
kind of
wish we had like LCD screens upstairs, so we could just watch Band of Brothers all the time.
At least on tank,
super
on tank nights. Yeah. Definitely on tank nights. That and Saving Private Ryan.
Yep.
So we can watch a bunch of people whine for an hour and a half.
Yep. And then Forrest Gump when we play War Machine.
Yep. Life is like a box of chocolates.
Yep. It's mostly just... Because Isaac's here.
Yeah.
Just to remind us all.
Yeah. Well, I was going to throw Bob under the bus.
Honestly, it's, yeah. It's,
yeah, we got a whole collection.
Target-rich environment. Yeah. A lot of low-hanging fruit on that joke.
All right, well, should we talk a little bit about War Machine?
Yeah.
Sure.
Speaking of Isaac.
Yeah.
Let's get right into it.
Yeah, what are we blasting Isaac for?
Yeah. Not knowing when to pop his fucking mini feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wait, before we get into that. So anyone listening who's in town...
Tomorrow, which will be the...
Are you literally going to advertise the tournament for tomorrow when this podcast comes out on Tuesday?
Fuck.
Yeah.
That's right. Darn stupid.
But yeah, we're all going to be at a pizza party. Godfathers, you should be there. Yeah. Get your DeLorean and show them.
If anyone randomly appears halfway through.
And Caleb's not even here to fucking troll you.
We've been kind of sick today, so it's an easy mark.
Yeah, everybody's been sick. I got sick, too, over the week.
I was sick. Yeah. I was sick.
That sucked. Was it just, like, lung croupy crap?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. For me. I'm still, like, coughing up just sludge.
Yeah. It's that goddamned Alex. He was sick last week when he came down.
That fucker.
Oh, was it him?
Yeah.
He Alex, we're coming for you.
Yeah. I literally died over the weekend. Yeah. I was fucking miserable.
So, anyways, I wanted to talk about feats and mini-feats and when to pop them. And I wanted to take it, a lot of times, it's, you know, it has to have been, I think we've even talked about it on Focus Period before, but it's probably sort of commonly.
It's an important enough topic.
But, yeah, and I also want to go into it a little deeper, because I think the value, there's two things. So, A, there's the really basic one. So, we'll start with the one-on-one part, which is, like, on mini feats. We were convincing a game with Isaac, and he was using Invictors. And he was playing against a pretty shooty removal list, and it was, like... Was that against you?
Yeah, it was my siege list.
Yeah, it was your siege list, and you had gun mages and everything else. There was no way that unit was going to be around for more than
a couple of turns at that point.
So it's like, if you don't pop your mini feet on this turn when you still have 8 left, you'll have 3 left next turn, and then, you know, every turn, you just know it won't be valuable. Yeah. As long as the worst part is, the longer they hold on to that feet, the more valuable it is to kill them. If you pop your feet early.
What does it do? I forget.
Yeah. It gives them 4 extra inches to the range.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
So
it gives them sniper.
Yeah.
This one's a pretty easy one to pop early. And the reason being is it's going against you on multiple levels to sit on it. A, every turn you hold the feet, two things are happening. You're giving them a value proposition of removing your models before you can pop your feet so that it's less impactful later. Secondly, every turn the game draws on, the battlefield's getting shorter. So you don't need 14 inches as people are getting closer. So it's like, who cares? You know, you can always just move up. It's like...
Yeah, that kind of feat really speaks to the point of the sooner you use it, the more saturation you can do with it. Right? Yeah. The more guys you have to shoot with, the better it's going to be.
There's always that magic play where you want to hold on to that, like, you know, primo card that, you know, digs you out of a bad situation if your cards go bad. You know, like, so you know, a lot of magic players will hold on to counter spells or their removal for something they really don't want to deal with later. And there's a value to that. This is not one of those situations. Yeah. It's like, you basically want to pop in on turn one or two and remove the first things that it can get within 14 inches. And that's the type of unit that's tough. They're like 17, armor 17, you know, defense 12, armor 17, and base to base. So they keep getting, and they have melee attacks that are fairly substantial if they're within reach of a jack and stuff.
Sure.
So there's no reason for them to not just stormtrooper march forward and keep getting closer and closer. You
and
know.
Sometimes it means getting an aiming shot off against something that's outranging you already.
Yeah.
That's just picking you apart. I mean, if you let someone that, gun mages, for example, that can take snipe every turn, sit there and shoot you with 14-inch range, and you never try to pop your feet and get back in there and get rid of a few of them, you're going to lose the whole unit before you get any effect out.
Well, that's the thing, too. Like, if you're waiting to use it for the magic time, when that magic time shows itself, you only have 3 Invictors, there's no point.
Yeah.
Yeah, the magic time is always the time that you get the most shots out of something like that.
Well, the most efficacy of whatever that feat is.
Yeah.
And is the – who gives the mini feat, the captain or the standard bearer?
Yeah, I think it's officer.
So, and then on top of that, so most times people are not sacrificing their standard bearer as one of the guys getting killed. So that's another guy short who's not going to get that many feet because he doesn't have a gun. Yep. So, I mean, yeah, you that's a feat that you need to.
Well, and it's just, you know, it's also one of those things like your officer could just get sniped out or lucky blasts or, like.
And then it's gone.
Yeah, then it's gone. Then you didn't get any use out of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that and every turn it exists, it's just
more. Yeah, once they're within 10 inches, what the hell do you need it for anyway?
Yeah. So, you know. But I think that's probably one of the most black and white examples.
Yeah.
There's some more
nebulous more big ones. So let's go into the Cador ones, the Iron Fang Pikeman guys. Zealots, I think, another one that can be tricky.
Yeah.
Especially because they combo up with casters that also give them a time walk. So you'll see a lot of times people double down. They'll pop, like, Vinny D's feet, and they'll do their stupid zealot thing. Or they'll pop Harvey's feet, and... Yeah, but like, I mean, I see that all the time just from other
yeah,
places.
But a lot of people, like, pop the Zealot mini feet, and then the next turn they'll pop Vinny D's mini feet.
And then it's deadly, but yeah. If you can combo it up, and, you know, a lot of times you want to do Vinny D's feet early,
yeah.
And then that way, because a lot of people will try to do early removal on the Zealots and go all in on it, and yeah. If you pop Vinny D's feet early, you'll get a little bit of extra value out of those, the damage return.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then after that, you pop your mini feet and go all in.
Yeah.
Same thing with like Harby. Harby's another one. Or Krios. You know, you're going to protect them for two turns in a row, essentially.
Yeah.
So try not to combo it on the same turn as your feet. Mm. So that would be like another simple one. But the Cotter one's another one I think people fuck up more times than not. The Ironfang Pikeman regular UA, I think that one you pop as early as possible. Like as soon as you can get a charge, you pop the mini feet.
Or if you're running the Kopnik, sometimes turn two, you walk them.
Yeah. I mean, there are situations where it's like you just use that for board position.
Yep.
To get them up there and in shield wall.
Yep.
So
yeah. That's usually how I'm doing it.
Yeah.
If at the end of the turn you're engaging someone too,
it's
bonus.
Yeah.
That's not about killing anyone with those guys on that turn.
Yeah. I mean, like, the best, you know, like, talking about the bomb, like, with that mini feat is getting a charge off, then popping it, reforming into more guys into shield wall. Yep. Like, that's as good as it gets.
Yep.
But it rarely ever happens.
Yeah, if you're always waiting for it, as good as it gets, nine times out of ten, your game's going to toilet bowl on you, and you'll never get a chance.
Well, let's go the other direction, right? So it's still in Kotor. You look at the Kazis, and their mini feat is almost always a kill stroke.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
You almost never use them for board position. You almost never use them for gaining advancement.
Well,
and so there's almost always one you want to wait as long as possible until you get that perfect moment where they can mini feet through people and then murder something.
Well, there's two ways I use them. With my Damiana list, I save the mini feet until I'm going to go for something big.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's an assassination. When I'm playing Kotor, I actually will use them often to screen my melee troops that are coming. The IFP will be behind them. They'll just run and engage so that next turn they're going to feet through whoever's they're engaged with, and then the Iron Fangs are going to
follow up,
come and hit whoever they were engaged with originally.
Yeah.
So you're actually getting your punch counter punch in one turn, and Alpha striking a lot more of their army.
Sure.
And they're also one of those units that they, you know, like in Kotor especially, you have Iron Flesh, you have defensive tech to keep them alive. So you can hold it a little bit longer, and they're a hard unit to deal with.
Naturally. Yeah.
Unless Blaster in play.
Yeah, Blast start fucking your day.
You
got
to get on
bad.
Top of them, and then they have to decide to sack their own dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think if you're having a unit and you're finding that you're not getting your value out of them, try popping that mini feat either
a turn earlier.
Earlier or later, you know, mix it up, or just think of that as what's probably going wrong. A lot of people just think that on turn three is, like, when they do it. Or possibly if they're like bottom of two, and they'll do it no matter what on those two sort of turns.
Well, like Alex is a great example of this. He's playing Kalissa with his Gatsby 2, and Kalissa feeds, and then he feeds in like on his next turn, and it's like,
it's the turn I want to pop my feet almost every game, but
sometimes you also have to be awake.
it's just one of those things.
I'm on cold medicine, it's late.
I think Gatsby is a perfect example of this. Is a lot of the times the longer you hold your feet, the more powerful it is.
Yep.
But you also have to identify. A lot of people hold feats like that. A lot of feats. Waiting for an assassination, and they don't think about how they could use that feat to win the game without ever getting to their caster.
To out attrition or scenario.
You know,
how am
I going to deal with this Colossal? I'll pop Gatsby's feet, bring back 10 dudes that can take down a Colossal.
And Gatsby's feet is a little weird, too, because you actually fuel his feet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I don't have enough guys to use for his feet, or guys that I want to use for a feat, I can kill my own dudes for that, right? And so there's a little bit even more to Gatsby's feet, because do you wait for your own guys to die, or do you kill your own guys?
Yeah, I mean, there's situations where killing your guys is what you want to do, but I feel like most of the time you want to get twice the amount of work, make them kill them, and then bring them back.
Well, I've had a number of times when I'm playing Gatsby 2 where, like, I see an assassination run, and I want to maximize the potential of it working, so I murder my own guys on one side of the table, bring them back onto Gatsby's feet on the other side of the table.
Yeah.
Biothralls are really good for murdering your own banes in the back.
You know, like, E-Sorcerer is one of those feats that I like to hold for as long as possible.
Yep.
because it's the.
That's one. I'm actually one of the. That's probably one of the stickier wickets ones because it's like there's a sweet spot that you have to just really nail.
You want to hold it because the threat of it makes people play cautiously.
Yeah.
But as soon as you get that opening to kill something big, you got to take it. You can't. Yeah. You can't just hold on to that forever.
Yeah. It's kind of the same way with Peace Gar, right? Same deal, just massive damage, but yeah. You want to wait till you can maximize it.
Yeah, you need to figure out, like, when I'm playing East Orsha, I look at the opponent's army and I see, like, I pick out a couple things that my lists have a hard time dealing with. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the biggest threat, and then I try to feed to take out those one or two things.
Yeah. One of the things about Peace Gar versus Epic Orsha is that Peace Gar's feat has a defensive component to it.
Yeah.
So you have two situations you can use your feat. Epic Sorcia's defensive portion of her feat comes from having it, like Caleb said.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Not having cast it yet, they don't want to move their jacks up. Because you are a boundless charge caster, so you can alpha strike a lot of other heavies.
Yep.
So people will kind of hold back on some of that stuff if they know that you're going to come in and basically one-shot them with a behemoth.
Yeah.
So sometimes you do have to consider what your opponents think. You know, try to get in their mind and think, are they not moving up? They're colossal yet because they know they'll be in my feet range. Should I hold it until I can, and use that to my advantage and try to move up the table a little further?
Sure.
And you can, like, I use it as a bullying thing. They, like, kind of just push their big shit out of where I want them to be.
Yep.
You know, because if they go in, then I just pop it and they just die. So.
Yep.
But.
And Scar's feet, sometimes you have to consider, well, is my army going to die this turn? Is some armor going to keep me alive?
Mm.
And then pop it in that case and forego the entire offensive portion of it just so you can get better table position against your opponent. What other feats do you think? I know sieges. I mean, I've been playing Siege quite a bit lately. And
Siege Nigel, one, we just had a game where we had a technical, like I was convincing you, we had a technical discrepancy or a... Like, I thought you popped it early. You used it for infantry removal. And I was like, there's only two models on the board that you give a shit about removing, which is the caster and then his one jack or whatever. I was like, well, I should, I would have waited until you were making meaningful attacks on those two models. And then later, I was like, oh, this really, it would have been sure handy to shoot this caster at the...
Yeah, Siege's feat has the balance of, do you wait for the assassination run or you just try to clear high armor troops? Because I'm using a lot of POW 10s. So sometimes if they're armor 17, I can clear a lot of dudes on Siege's feet with those POW 10s. But if I wait, then I get this one big shot that's basically guaranteed to half kill a caster that can tip the tables in my favor too. Or Arc Node or whatever. And against Crix, I'm learning that you kind of got to save it for... If you ever get Tartarus in your feet, they're Arc Node in your feet, or they're your caster in your feet, it's probably a good time to pop your feet.
Yeah.
Because if you have any of those in your feet, then you also have them in your ground pounder.
Especially if they're nice enough to put the Arc Node and Tartarus in, like,
a 4-inch little box. 5 inches
away. Yeah. If they can just get them in a 5-inch template.
If you get all three, the caster, Tartarus, and...
Yeah, all in one big ground pounder.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be perfect. But yeah, he's been one I've been trying to figure out, because it's an amazing feat for troop clearing.
Yep.
But it's also a feat that can help you a lot in alpha striking certain key models.
Yeah, as long as if you can arrange like the Ion and Holt Harm on an armor 17 unit, and then just gun mage him off at about 12s or something like that, just kind of buy yourself time until you get the bigger guys you just have to get rid of.
Yep.
And there's a lot of people, we're talking about, running feats later, but there's a lot of people that get surprised when somebody pops a feat turn one, like Vlad one. And runs a conquest 16 inches up into your grill. Or,
yeah, I've seen you do that, and I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And then I watched Nigel pop his feat turn one. Like, he was second player, I think, at one time, last tournament, and you popped your feat turn one.
Nigel's a big fan of bottom of one sorcerer.
Yeah, there was the Damiano game where I...
Blew my mind.
Yeah, you just ran up really aggressively 12 inches, and then I... Boundless charged one of my own models, wind rushed up, popped my feet, like turn one. And I was like, dick in the wind as close as possible.
Yeah.
But it totally paid off because it was all Kyazis and whatever. Nothing could, I froze it all in place. It was totally worked. I also used that against Lance. It kind of bought me deep into that game where he probably should have. I ended up losing it anyways, but it was a little bit of a surprise to turn one, use it, and get his winter guard.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about.
Yep. And her feet is one that people do often sit on. And try to get an assassination with her specifically. They're like, I'm going to pop my feet, start swinging at you. And A, she's not that great at actually killing things herself.
Yep.
But, you know, a lot of times you can get better board position to finish them off the next turn if you pop your feet early.
Yep. Yeah, you have to sort of decide on some of those feats. Are you going to use it? I mean, it's actually the siege problem. Are you going to use it for attrition real quick, or are you going to try to finish the game with it?
That's kind of the same thing with Denny 1.
Yeah.
Like, do you use it to gain more position, or do you use it to murder stuff?
Yeah. And if it's...
Denny's particularly I like for the attrition part. I like to just get board position and attrition.
Yep.
I think my siege list and Nigel's Ocean's 18 list kind of fall into the same category, that if you're against a heavy melee force, you really can just use it to attrition, because you're going to be safe enough the next turn, because you're going to just clear enough that you can just keep attritioning their line as it approaches you with all the range shooting you're using. But if they're going to be heavy shooting and premium shooting that can actually deal with you, then a lot of times you're going to come a lot harder at them.
The one where there's some unconventional moves is like when you're playing U Butcher player goes first, he's super aggressive, he flies up, and it's like Epic Haley, her only play is pop her feet on turn fucking one.
Yeah.
Is to slow that piece of shit down. And I just see players sort of give me a free pass. They let me get farther up the board. If Butcher gets over halfway across the board before she pops her feet, because he'll just walk and suck everybody in. He doesn't care. He'll
energize it's 11 inches still. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, he's where he already wants to be. So, actually, a lot of Epic Haley players get taken off. I think she still has a good game against them. She's just, you have to think your game a little different.
That's another caster people really wait until they're mid-table to try to pop. They're like, I'm going to try to get every model on the table into this feat. And they wait too long, and they're too close to things, and then they forget that things walk.
Yep.
And just, you know, sure, they didn't attack you, but they're engaging you. Yep. And that's a big deal.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I think people fall into the same category with Harvey and Old Witch and, you know, they want to hold it, but they don't realize the effect of, like, getting, like, charging your own dude, like, top or bottom of turn one and popping it to just deny a huge area of the board to your opponent.
No.
The thing I liked about the Harbinger feat, especially I got to play against Easter against E. Haley a couple times, and the nice thing about that feat is because they're both time walk feats, you can literally just counter each other. So if they pop theirs before you did, the minute they say you can activate your caster, you're like, oh, I will pop my feet. Yeah. And your army's not going to sit there for a turn two. Or if they pop yours, you run up, pop your feet, and go, I'm going to force you to make you pop your feet now because you're going to give me a whole turn in the scenario.
Yeah.
And, you know, fuck your face for it.
Yeah, the scenario advantage you can gain by, like Old Witch or Harvey is insane if you pop it bottom, you know.
Early.
Early.
Really, really. Before they're there.
Yeah, before
if all they have to do is hold still, then you haven't gained anything.
Yeah, then then you've wasted your feet.
Yep.
So.
And that used to be one of the old the old adages, or, you know, for us, when Brian used to terrorize us with Harvey, it got to that point where it's like, oh, I'm just going to back up. Like, as long as there's no reason, you know, a lot of times you'd be so aggressive or he'd save the feet. Because he's also one of those guys who puts a premium on holding things until it's like, ha-ha. So, you know, turn three, he pops it, and you're like, well, I'm already past mid-table, so I'll just back up and then give you nothing. And then, you know, you didn't get a feet, basically. You know, and that's where, you know, yes, you have the avatar then sort of try to pen you in, but...
You can only do that for so much. Like, a little 8-inch bubble, you know, like... So.
Brian was also interesting because he always stated that he thought a game was great if if he never popped his feet.
Yeah.
He considered himself that was his... thing was that if he didn't have to pop his feet against you, he was doing great.
He played a lot of Krios and Sevi, though. Those are two big guys. Sevi, if you popped your feet, you most likely lost. You'd probably just get fucking
killed. Yeah, P-Sevi, you're basically popping a feet every turn.
Sure. Yeah.
No, it's true. But yeah, that caster's got victim stats running around.
Yeah.
I mean, sort of like, I pop my feet. Okay, everybody shoots you.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Oh, come on, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Are there any other big ones?
Feet-wise,
I think most Epic Denny players get it, right?
Most Epic players, they really do. They are all about popping it on top of two, bottom of one type of crazy.
Yeah.
Actually, I have the model, and I want to start playing her, because I know she's one of the power casters and everything, but I just can't bring myself to build that model. The model is so terrible.
Oh, yeah, it is.
The whole, like, Bride of Frankenstein thing going
on.
It's
fucking derpy.
Oh, it's so bad. And, like, it's not even that's derpy. It's also fiddly and, like, tiny pieces.
Oh, I just hate the Hawkman nose. But,
yeah. Well, and she's got this
attorney
like,
at law.
She's got this veil going on.
Yeah.
Like she's married to Gatsby. It's terrible.
Mm. Hey, sometimes it's hit and miss with the models. Sometimes, you get Sons of Braggs.
Ooh.
You know, sometimes they got little midget feet on their huge upper bodies.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? We probably will record an episode between now and Christmas. But
probably.
Well, Men Off John's coming.
What?
Men Off John's coming.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
Cool.
Why? December 12th, right?
Yep.
Why not?
What?
Particular reason?
I think he's in town for business.
He said he used to live out here. So.
Yeah, he used to live here.
So,
dude, we're having him on.
Yeah. But we should make our Christmas wish list for Privateer Press right now.
Oh, my God.
And then later, we'll do a Christmas episode where we are, like, naughty or nice. Like, what was naughty or nice this year? But we'll do the Christmas list first.
Right now, we're going to just straight up Christmas list it.
Yeah, Christmas list. What do we want?
Failsafe and Kator.
That would be amazing. the next book is Vengeance, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
No.
Just other than two Cotter
how amazing it would be.
Yeah. That'd be
I'd take a Cotter caster with a jackhammer.
Yeah.
I would love that in the faction, yeah.
Yeah. That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
I would like a good shooting unit in Crits. That'd be kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no one wants to see that, though. So.
It's called the Revenant Crew, dude.
Yeah. Come on.
Yep.
Those three guys. Get with the Nigel Times.
Yeah.
Subscribe to his newsletter.
Casey, what do you wish for?
My faction's done, so right now we don't
the rest of their models?
Yeah.
That'd be nice. A corollary.
Oh, no, wait, I know what I want.
Yeah, a corollary would be really good.
I want a UA for Bane Knights.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
I want James to go fuck himself. Yeah. I love that.
They use him stealth and double attack. Or double strike.
Rapid strike.
That'd be balanced. Sweet. Oh, that'd be correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they can backswing, that'll balance.
And if they hit with both attacks, they can make a third attack, which would then shadow bind you.
Yeah, it freeze you in flight.
Death check.
It makes me safe and hurry.
I just threw up in my mouth.
It's what they do.
I had actually
Cricks.
I would love a spell caster in Kator. I would love
a good jack caster in Kator.
You know, I'd love a good 4 or 5 point jack.
Yeah,
a good one.
Yeah.
Especially like with this junior warcaster coming out. Now group points are kind of like wasted. It's like you got to take a 10 point fucking Spriggan, and then you have to take a 10 point something else. It's like, fuck me.
Give us some kind of sweet 6-7 point thing.
Yeah,
and a 2 point dickhead to run the fucking thing, or a 3 point dickhead. Yeah, give us a 5 point goddamn jack.
You know what's the weirdest thing? Like, I've been building COC lists for a couple weeks now.
Yeah.
And how fucking cheap their jacks are for all the shit they do is bananas. I understand their stat line gets drastically affected by your caster and whatnot.
Certain casters.
But, like, 9 points, I believe he is, for the guy who has 2 POW 18s. And that weird mortar gun. But the mortar gun fires twice.
A load of bullshit.
Yeah, that jack is retarded. And I'm like, everyone else is paying, like, Cotter pays, like, would pay, like, 10 points for that.
Oh, God, no.
And have shit stats.
We pay, like, 11 points for that.
Yeah,
rat 4.
Yeah, look what we get. At 9 points, we get the Destroyer.
I would love if Kator got weapons platform for their jacks.
Oh, my God.
All their jacks, that'd be amazing.
Because it would not be overpowered.
It would be,
I actually think a solo... That was a mechanic solo that had a star action of weapon platform for a jack.
Oh my god, that'd be amazing.
The perfect thing for Cotter.
Yeah,
I could maybe go back.
Hark, he'd lose the Pathfinder thing and gain weapon platform.
Gain broadsides. Oh, it's terrible.
Oh, the Spriggan though with weapon platform
would be legit
and would not be overpowered.
No,
in no way.
POW 10s. Do not scare people.
No. Yeah. Well, the big thing is like you could flare 17-inch flares.
Yeah.
It'd be so cool.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, you'd get to do something and flare. Yeah. Holy crap! Yeah. For 10 points. Oh man.
20-inch flares.
Like,
scares.
Yeah, we'd actually have an answer for tartar sauce.
Yeah.
Wait.
Finally.
Yeah.
And it's like Christmas. Yeah. Oh, that's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But I think a solo with weapon platform and. If it really wanted to be sweet power booster, it would be like the best little jack solo for Cotter ever.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah.
It's just something on that.
Power booster. Yeah, it's FA1.
On that jack fishing stuff, John was kind of trolling me today. I was giving them crap because they don't. They were talking about Kotor in their podcast, and they don't know what they're talking about. I was like, I Twitch must head explode. But I was bitching about. I was bitching particularly about Harkovich and like destroyers and how garbage destroyers are.
Yep.
And he's like, "Those are 7 points, right?" I'm like, no, they're nine.
Nine.
And he's like, "Oh." It's like, yeah, I know the Reckoner's 8 points. And he's like...
well, you have to pay the choir tax.
Yeah.
Well, I saw the little, like, I saw the little ellipse of, like, him typing. I was like, hey, before you tell me about the 2 point goddamn tax, I'd pay 10 points for a Matt 8, Rat 7, Pow 14, Flare with concealment that fucked Hordes for no reason with Reach, Pow 19. Yeah. I was like, what the shit? It's a character jack. It's a character jack in every way. And he's like... it's actually POW 15. like, you motherfucker.
It's like, here's some salt.
yeah. You son of a bitch. I aptly paid 10 points for that. That's better than Black Ivan.
The worst elite jacks you will ever find. Kadoran army.
Yeah.
It's Black Ivan's so weird. Just because he's got that stupid... Because
Privateer Press would make him?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
because he needs weapon platform
you know
to be
what
effective?
Destroyers need to be? More expensive.
And a worse melee weapon.
Yeah. Throw some shit on him, quick.
But he's got a crit effect. Yeah. Those are the best thing in the game. Those are worth
Chuck.
The point.
Yeah. I'm the most focused inefficient jacks fucking ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that the jacks are necessarily focus inefficient. It's that their casters never have anything to run their jacks with.
Yeah. Yeah. Harkovich would be sweet if he had 12 focus and could run 4 jacks.
Yeah.
But he can't.
Yeah.
He's fucking worthless.
He can barely handle one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so sad. I like that model so much. And
he is like your totem.
He is me, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Angry man with a fucking ham.
I was hoping you were going to say the beard, so fuck you.
Well, the beard too, but
and the ham hammer.
Yeah. Ham hammer.
The hammer.
I think every Kotor player did think, holy crap, we're getting a sweet jackcaster. Oh, 6 focus. Wah, wah. Yeah.
Well, that's exactly what I thought. We all saw him like, oh, wait, he's got escort? Sweet. He got Pathfinder. Oh, my God. Oh, it's not that good.
And then everyone's like, oh, he's got broadsides. He'll be able to make all those jacks fire again. Oh, this is such a waste of focus. Why would I ever do that?
Oh, they're still all Rat 4.
Yeah, Rat 4. Unboosted.
Yeah. God damn it. They fucking griefed me. So if
watch
you cast
me take
broadsides
twice
to upkeep Fortune, you have 2 focus to allocate.
Yeah,
not to mention you just made your turns at least 12 minutes while you scatter 42 templates around the table.
And that's also assuming you didn't upkeep Escort. So that's you have 1 focus to allocate if you cast broadsides.
To a jack.
Yeah, to a single jack.
And then you're flapping on the wind.
Yeah.
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 And he doesn't have amazing
you pop
stuff.
Your garbage feet and then do what Epic Balder does every turn. Make everybody badass.
Although you know what could help him? He'd still only be able to run 1 jack, but if he had a solo that could give out Artillerist.
Yeah.
Almost useful.
Yeah.
Almost.
Almost. Still terrible.
So, yeah. You know the card thing we talk about, like doing cards every year? He'd be like one of my top picks, right? Like he could do the rewrite.
Yeah, maybe.
Zirkova. And
yep.
I'd be happy with that.
Zirkova was the other caster everyone was excited for.
Well,
right?
She was supposed to be their caster.
It's a spell caster. The problem is that spell casters don't work as well without Arknodes.
No.
Or just without good spells to cast.
Yeah. Her spells aren't the worst. She has
a
decent ones.
They're not good.
She has to be there to cast any of them.
You need a signature offensive spell, though, like Hellmouth or something crazy.
Razor
Wind's not a signature
spell. It's a signature spell in a non-signature faction.
Yeah.
No, I think Epic... Old Witch would be the thing I'd want the absolute most, though.
Holy shit.
Because if they made her a proper offensive spellcaster with Scrapjack, it could be a lot of fun.
Well, I mean, like, you know what Zirkova should have had? DK.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Holy crap. And then Cutthroats could finally have a faction, which, like, fuck yeah. we are badass. Yeah. Because Krix, it did not catch on for Krix.
Yeah.
No.
For whatever reason.
Yeah, I'm not Epic Caspi.
Went away.
Yeah, well, Kador's like, oh my god, we'd kill to have him.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, the only reason I have him bought Scavers is because he's like $40.
Yeah. And he's literally blood farting a fucking super jet. Like this is.
Yeah.
So it's Beanish's totem.
Yeah, he should just be called Blood Fart.
He's also kind of a 40k model.
Maybe Taco Bell start giving them away.
Yeah.
Buy 4 horrible tacos, get diarrhea, and this model.
Yeah. Just putting that model together, and the fact that they have him on that medium base is so retarded.
Right.
Kind of gives me an idea for some cosplay.
What? Ryan, Nigel's driving your car. Yeah.
I'll just eat a crap ton of Taco Bell on the way down, and then like the first night I like win an award, I'll go front to receive it and just turn sideways and just bam.
It's a curious sign.
You're going to have to time it perfectly.
You'll just have a hoe.
Yeah.
Like just a cheap.
It's not even a sign. It's just a hoe.
You're going to have to figure out the balance of cheese to Taco Bell that you need to release at the right amount of time.
Yeah.
Coppers. Get coppers.
I would just need a bucket of that weird chili stuff that they saw meat, you know, that weird textured stuff, textured brown stuff.
Are talking about the stuff that you find at the Steak and Shakes?
Yeah, that stuff too. Yeah.
they're quote-unquote chili.
Yeah, you just eat a ton of that. And then...
Well, we can take a moment because all our viewers are fucking throwing up at this point.
I kind of need to throw up at this point.
Yeah.
I don't know. This could work.
To make room for some Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I'm in.
Bong.
Today's Focus and Fury brought to you by Taco Bell.
Oh, God damn it.
It won't
their chicken has never made me sick.
Yeah, it's not chicken.
It's not chicken.
Yeah.
No, it's never made me sick.
To be fair, I've never gotten sick of anything at Taco Bell.
It's space meat.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with space meat. We've got to travel space sometime.
I'm probably not the one who watches Invader Zim, but the...
No, I remember.
They've got space meat in it at their burger place, and it's made from napkins.
Yeah, not actually meat.
Yeah.
Burger Lord, tell me your secrets.
So that's exactly what McDonald's is, and that's why you can push it through your teeth.
Yeah.
And Taco Bell takes it and just crumples it up and puts it on their tacos.
Yep.
It's the crumpling that makes it harder to push through your teeth.
Yeah.
It's actually tortillas that do it. But.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure McDonald's has used White Castle. They just recycle it.
No, because it doesn't have
I'll
any
eat White Castle like once every 3 years.
Yeah.
Like every once in a while you're like, oh, I kind of want it now.
Yeah.
And you'll get it and you're like, I never wanted to get it.
I love the smell of onions and whatever that burnt smell is. And then you shit the next morning. I hate the smell of onions.
And whatever that fucking shit is.
The exact same smell.
My office has a Thanksgiving tradition where they get like 12 cases of sliders.
Yeah.
In our department. You can't be in the room anymore. Yeah. And seriously, 3 floors worth of bathrooms are taken for, like, the rest of the day.
Oh, no.
What's really fucking gross is, like, you get, like, a 10-pack of sliders and you eat 7, and then you just leave the 3 in your seat for, like, the day, and then gross, and your car just is disgusting for, like, ever. It just, you know, that smell never comes out.
Not at that problem.
Oh, my God.
You can literally wipe the grease off the window.
You have to tape down a spray can of Febreze and just leave it in the car for the day and walk away. It's pretty terrible.
So actually, I worked out a way to make axe bombs once after a particularly bad convention with a whole bunch of stinky gamers, right?
Convention?
Was this last War Machine weekend?
No, but that was pretty bad.
There were definitely some people who couldn't wipe their ass.
They weren't as bad as like Gen Con.
No, Gen Con was pretty bad. No,
well, there wasn't any Magic players.
This is a convergence a long time ago.
Right.
And the whole idea is like you make a little clip and then it holds the thing down on the axe. And you take the whole cap off. You pull the pin on it, and you roll it into the room full of gamers, and just axe the entire thing.
Yeah, but then they just smell like axe and ass.
Yeah.
I'm cold for some reason.
It doesn't necessarily.
I'm really cold.
So for our listeners, it's -4 outside right now.
It is fucking cold.
30 degrees in the basement of Tower
Games. Fuck Minnesota. Holy crispy Christ. The Russian gamers are like, fuck you.
Yeah. Everyone in Finland's like, fucking pussies.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It gets colder here than Finland. Finland has a sea to keep them warm.
The sea?
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure the sea gets fucking cold.
No,
it does, but you get warming.
Yeah.
The 4 people who live more than 100 miles north of the border of Canada are...
Yeah.
Oh, my God. No, seriously.
Aziz.
Fuck Aziz. I looked up where they lived, right?
Yeah.
They're actually south of us.
What?
Yeah, a lot of Canada's
fuck
actually...
Fuck you, Aziz.
Yeah.
fuck. Son of a bitch.
Pussies.
Yeah.
Are they like across the Great Lake from New York or whatever?
No, they're like on the same landmass as Michigan.
Okay. They basically live in Detroit.
Pretty much.
So you can't, you got to feel bad for them on some level.
Oh, the Detroit level, yeah.
I was just thinking, just an aside.
I'd rather have fucking cold air than get shot at every day.
For whatever reason, I was really bored at work, and I was reading about the Edmund Fitzgerald or whatever.
Yeah.
F. Scott Fitzgerald. Where's the Edmund Fitzgerald?
Edmund.
Okay.
The boat that went
down. Yeah, went down.
Yeah.
And I realized you can get a boat tour, because it sank going from Duluth to Detroit.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we should drive up to Duluth and then take the boat to Detroit for a tournament there.
How do we get back? We have to take it.
The boat. We have to take the boat back to Duluth.
Get our cars.
Get our cars. And drive
this plan sounds perfect.
This sucks on this many is levels. Brilliant.
You're crazy.
It's awesome.
It's we're negative, not doing this during the winter.
It's negative 8 in Duluth right now.
The boat can make that trip in 3 days.
Do we go?
So, you just told me, Nigel.
Yeah, exactly. We'd be there in no time.
Is this just like a rigid airship?
Yeah.
Actually, we're kind of sweet.
There's got to be a way to take a boat to Detroit.
I'm sure that there is.
It doesn't seem like a good idea.
And then we can go down with
does
the boat.
Does anybody
in, the
in this room strike you as somebody that can operate a boat?
We're
or
men.
Swim?
We have the riverboat gamble.
Yeah.
So we
got swim. GPS. Yeah. We're good.
Let's make a raft.
You make it go. As long as the waters stay calm.
We're all buoyant as fuck. That's what we got that going for us. But that's about it.
Yep.
And the water's warm.
No.
No.
You could totally stay alive in that lake for more than an hour.
No.
Not
even in the summer. 10 minutes, maybe? Yeah.
But seriously, we could drive over to, like, Milwaukee or whatever.
Yeah.
Also, I want to kill myself.
Yeah. Then we could get all the joys of the smells of driving through Wisconsin and then Detroit.
Yeah.
Holy crap. It's the best
but
plan
I've ever
heard.
But then we go to a Detroit tournament. We get to go on a boat ride together.
So it's actually a suicide pact.
Nobody's going back on the boat.
Come on, we just,
worst fucking idea.
We drive the boat to the middle of the lake and we just sink it.
We just Cortez burn our ships on the way.
What if we ram the boat into Detroit?
Oh, that could be fun.
Yeah. Then it would explode with
and they would get a rental car.
Nobody would notice. It would just improve. It would just improve the value.
Oh, there's like a whole block of empty land now.
Is someone renovating?
New construction.
Yeah.
That would be sweet, though. We could pretend we're Miami Vice. We'll get a speedboat from Duluth to Detroit and pretend we're Miami Vice the whole way.
Yeah.
That'd be the greatest thing ever.
Who gets to be the cop from New York?
Tubbs?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't really look like I'm from New York. So.
Yeah, none of us look like Tubbs, but
we'll make it work.
Well, we kind of look like Tubbs, just not the character.
Exactly. That is true.
We can come up with a plan. We'll make it work.
No, we won't. No.
You know who would be super excited
about
this?
From Simpsons?
Bob. Bob would be on board.
Yeah, Bob would be on board. And Gelfie. Bob and Gelfie.
Yeah, Gelfie, get your ass over here. We're getting a houseboat, and we're going on a trip.
Yeah, get Chunky.
Yeah,
it'd be an alcoholic houseboat. It'd be amazing.
Yeah,
you'd end up in the bottom of Superior.
We'll end up in Canada, but other than that, it'll be sweet.
Aren't we supposed to be ending up in Canada though?
No, we're going for Detroit. That was the plan.
Yeah, but
it won't be the right part of Canada.
Okay,
we'll end up in like Nova Scotia somehow.
Toronto. How the fuck
does anyone remember a lock? I don't remember a lock.
I just realized like. Detroit is kind of like a Canada's asshole.
We got to bring Seppi. You got to bring Seppi because he's the only person that would get us through Detroit alive.
I'm not sure I follow.
He's from Detroit.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mean Streets.
He survived the Mean Streets.
Yeah.
Okay.
As an Asian.
Yeah, as an Asian.
Ooh.
I don't know what that means.
Probably everyone hated him.
Or 8 Mile was basically about him.
Yeah. He used math, though, instead of rapping.
Wow.
Much less exciting.
Wow. Holy shit, wow.
It's too cold in here to have a rational podcast. Fuck you.
We need to hook up this
racist. Jesus Christ, I know.
I think it's getting colder in here.
Yeah.
No, there's a thing that's called layers, and you put them on, and you get warmer.
Yeah. I put a ton on. I'd be nothing but Taco Bell all summer. Get ready.
Nacho's like a grizzly bear. Ready to hide out.
Yeah.
Did we have another actual War Machine topic, though? Fuck. I thought there was one other thing we wanted. Oh, no, it was the...
No, I just wanted to put Muse on blast for not knowing shit about KOTOR and still talking about it.
Yeah, you guys suck.
Embarrassing themselves.
Yeah. Fucking leave it to the professionals.
Yeah, leave it to professionals.
Wait. Yeah. Hey, man, I heard KOTOR won War Machine Weekend.
Yeah, they did. They're back!
They're back. Assault Commandos, top of the list. Go!
Now every KOTOR player is just getting punched in the face over and over. I thought this list was legit.
I will say this.
Why can't I roll all sixes?
Yeah.
It's, if you're a KOTOR player, it's an exciting time because KOTOR does suck. And the thing about it is, are you capable of adjusting? Are you capable of adjusting and adapting before they give you a fucking handout, you know? Because eventually, you know, you play the game long enough, they'll release some bullshit that'll be super
broken.
You'll
hit the lottery eventually.
Yeah, you'll hit the lottery eventually. They're just that fucking stupid.
It takes a while.
Yeah.
They are so scared of letting KOTOR reach the top again.
They'll come back around. The other... Fucking goddamn it, KOTOR.
Could be worse. You could be a red player.
The worst thing that could have happened to you was to be the tier zero fucking nut stomper in Mark 1.
Like, yep.
Vlad and Old Witch just... cunt punching everybody in the face, and then just fucking KOTOR players got both barrels.
What the fuck does that mean?
Mentally, like, trying to work out the physics of this one.
You rip out their cunt, you stand up to their face, and you punch it.
Yeah.
It's like watching.
You ask.
Yeah, you ask. That's how it works. It's like, have you never seen that happen?
Yeah. No, neither of you.
Yeah.
Casey didn't hang out.
I've seen Steam Power TV. I've seen it happen.
Punch me in the face.
Yeah, it's the number one Power Rangers attack in Japan.
Exactly. That's that band, Five Finger Cunt Punch.
Oh,
isn't that one Dale's favorite band?
That is Dale's favorite band. They sing about racial equality. And
hey, they sing about America.
Yeah, America.
Fuck off. America.
But yes, Mark 1 kind of screwed.
So they basically, they're like, what's the first thing to fix Mark 1? Fuck Epic Vlad! And then they got the pitchforks out, like, yeah! And then they just ran around and, like, poked everything that was KOTOR, like, fuck you too! And fuck you too, Doom Reavers! Fuck you! And they just ran around, like,
there was a second where they're like,
game balance!
There was that second where they're like, Butcher, you will be the greatest alive!
Yeah.
You will be at the top of the stairs, just dancing around. It'll be awesome.
Yeah, they've got some sort of, they've got a game designer in there that just loves KOTOR, and they've clearly chained him up and put him in a game balance. Because he almost snuck out of the box and fucking released Warmonger, and that was amazing. But then you can see, because they fucked us so hard, the next best thing, like, you know, Crix was then tier 0B, and they've been sort of like pussy-handing fucking Epic Gatsby, you know, for 2 years. We don't want to break the balance of the community. Little baby debuffs. And then they've slowly, like, been dicking his feet a little bit. Craig's players still melt, which he's like, still like the tier zero uber dude.
He's not that good.
Oh, fuck you.
When Craig's players aren't bitching about, like, fire being broken.
Yeah.
Fire is broken. Continuous effects are unfair.
I'm just going to purge over your whole army. Yeah. Don't worry about me.
Craig's players. Oh, speaking of which, I've been playing that wrong, right? So I thought you needed line of sight from your dudes to your dudes.
No, I know.
No, you don't.
It's only line of sight blocked by terrain.
Yeah. So I was playing at the fairway, and apparently not.
It's not fair at all. Don't worry about it.
It's completely bullshit.
Hey, it used to be 8 inches, so it is fair now. That was also one of the big nerfs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big nerf.
Crix has had nothing but nerfs and no buffs, and we haven't had a single release in 8 years.
I mean, it's true, but...
Don't worry, you get your bane cap.
Yay!
So I guess when you, like, buy into Crix, they just give you some Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Giant amounts of Kool-Aid.
No, I mean,
Soul's Aid.
No. So, it's true, there has not been an exciting thing. Like, not even, like, a good thing, right?
What?
Crix players are, like, rewriting history, though, and they're saying that, like, literally nothing came out.
In the time that I've been playing Crix, which is for about a year and a half now, right? There's not been one model that's come out for Crix that I've been like, oh my god, that looks super fun.
Floaty ball guy who makes shit stealth.
What?
Yeah, for some reason nobody plays that, though.
Yeah, everybody's like, that's not released. That's the thing, is they've got, like, this weird selective memory, like, they're the memento guys.
Yeah.
Unless you actually tattoo what came out on their fucking body, they don't remember it.
No, yeah, I know. They're talking about the Overlord Seer.
Yeah, the Overlord Seer.
It'll suck.
They're not Gatsby too.
Yeah.
Fuck up.
It's only got like two rules, goddamn it.
I was hoping he'd have a 360 purge.
Yeah.
Because he's a floaty ball with three faces, like the Transformer.
And he looks like he should probably just, 12-inch purge. Since you can't excarnate to move him up the table, you should probably 12-inch purge.
So you're not considering 3 Gatsby a good release for you guys?
He's not Gatsby.
I think, because in every other faction, 3 Gatsby would have been one of the greatest casters they ever got.
No, I'm one of the few people who actually really like 3 Gatsby.
Holy shit,
he's like the closest thing to a good release.
Awesome Cotter caster. Could you imagine having him as Cotter?
I know. Most people were like, hey, that guy is fucking great. We love him.
Yeah. To be honest, I mean, if I was like 3 Gatsby versus Butcher 1, probably go with Butcher 1. Honestly.
What?
They do a lot of the same stuff. They're both buffcasters.
Yeah, Butcher 1's just point and click.
Yeah, I mean, so is Gatsby 3. There's not much going on there. You buff things, you walk up, you get souls, and then you try to be unkillable killing machine.
And then you have an Arcanaut.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he has shit for good spells.
What?
He's not an assassination spellcaster.
Yeah,
but he gets to give his buffs and be hanging out in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, so can Butcher 1. He throws the Iron Force, then he walks right behind everybody else.
Well, yeah, he can do the Kadoran arc known.
Yeah.
Leave a dude back.
Yep.
All the time.
And to be fair, that's almost what you do with, your Banes anyway, because you have a Standard Bearer back there.
Got to keep that Standard
Bearer. So here's an example, right? Gatsby 3 does not need an arc known.
I don't feel bad for you.
Yeah, I'm not saying you
should. I think I understand now why Crick's players don't think anything came out in a year and a half.
Yeah.
but that guy also collects souls. He also,
he only has Hexblast, Carnage, Mobility, Ashen Veil, Bloodshaker.
Well, Hexblast is garbage.
Scything Touch.
Scything Touch is good. Ashen Veil is great.
I love Ashen Veil.
Mobility is great.
Mobility is great.
Yeah, Carnage.
Mobility is great. Mobility is great if you have a Jack faction at all. So your mobility.
Holy shit! You got some amazing goddamn jacks.
They just don't play them.
Yeah,
they're not Banes. Come on,
like the Harrower or whatever the fuck.
Harrower. The gunshot one.
Yeah,
you mean the Leviathan
or whatever.
The 3-shot guy.
Yeah, that thing's fucking legit.
Yeah, he's pretty sweet.
But Nightmare and Deathjack are both good jacks.
Yeah,
you have at least as many as Cotter does.
Yeah, agreed.
I'll take your baseline jacks over Cator baseline jacks.
Oh, absolutely.
Hands down.
Well,
and we're supposed to be a jack pack.
I think Cotter would, be really fun. Would love Slayers versus the Berserker.
Matt 7 jacks?
Yeah.
Who walks 6?
Yeah. I'm like, everyone's like, oh, the Slayer sucks. I'm like,
I mean, they're pillow fisted compared to the Power 19, but
yeah.
Berserker's a Power 16.
Oh, yeah, Berserker sucks.
Yeah. And they're Matt, 5?
Yeah.
Fuck them.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know.
They're so bad.
And they explode.
Yeah.
Your best move is to blow up the 6-point model.
I have no idea why they didn't get rid of that.
That is the dumbest rule.
It is fucking stupid.
Why didn't they just give it, one Cortex point or something so it would blow up faster, and then that's it?
It's because they had to have a reason for Drago to have his
special thing.
Glad where
they got rid of so many stupid Mark 1 rules that were just dumb, for flavor purposes. Mm-hmm.
They're too busy stabbing Cator in the face.
Big time. Yeah, Demogorgon, you don't get double damage against buildings. That's OP! that's a corner case roll. They used to have, the double damage.
No.
Yeah, they fucking knew the circle was coming out or whatever. It's like, oh, we can't have structures getting blown up. And then,
God, that's a unit you don't see anymore.
Got rid of Toe. They were
when I first started playing, right, I saw Demogorgon all over the place. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Never see him anymore.
They're batshit useless now.
Yeah.
The game has
moved beyond them.
It's moved beyond speed 4.
Yeah, I think that's the big deal. Yep.
The game has left speed 4 models in the dust.
Because initially, didn't they have, not only did they do double damage against buildings, but they already had the 2 swings and they were already weapon masters?
No, right?
They still chose.
They had to choose between one of the two. The big one is they would choose weapon master and get 2 attacks each with Vlad, Epic Vlad.
Yeah.
So then they were 2 attacks each, weapon masters, double damage against structures. I would literally terraform fucking tournament games. Remember that building? Let's find out how many hit points this is. And they'd be like, what? And then they'd send Demogorgon up there on the feet turn, blow it up so that Jack would bust through the Kool-Aid man. Fuck you. Yeah, so the craziest shit would happen to those guys.
But that's fucking flavorful of shit. They're Demogorgon.
I know.
Yeah.
No, fuck that rule. But we're going to keep the Berserkers blown up because that's fucking brilliant. Also, they don't have an arc node. So, What's faulty? Every other jack works. So what's the, like, take the shitty Cortexes out. It's Mark Goddamn 2. Put the Juggernaut Cortexes in, because we got them to spare because no one takes Juggernauts. So fucking Christ. Like, there's no reason to have experimental fucking Cortexes in a goddamn jack anymore.
Well, didn't we get the fucking manufacturing in the fluff? Like,
You got all the merc jacks.
Yeah, so we should have access to all the goddamn merc jacks.
Yep.
Now that'd be
perfect. Well, the...
What if
the Zerkovitz no. here gets them?
The yeah, she gets, aren't she gets,
think of all the, yeah. Think of all the rovers.
Yeah. Oh, my God. No, if it was gun bunnies.
Think about all the the trash we could clear.
Yeah.
The P. Butcher gun bunny list.
Yep. That'd be awesome. Probably would see a P. Vlad gun bunny spam, though.
No.
I would so do that.
Yeah.
I'd do it with P. Butcher, too. It'd just be hilarious.
Well, P. Vlad would be amazing, because it's like, feet go, pew! Feet signs of importance, and it's like, I'm a really sort of... lot better version of Epic Thagrosh. Epic Thagrosh, like, thanks to my bit.
Oh, that would be the greatest list ever.
Those are Rulik, though. We'll never get them.
Yep.
We have to do that with the Buccaneers.
Buccaneers.
Buccaneer spam. It's a thing.
Exciting.
Yeah. Hey, on the feet turn, that's a lot of fucking assault. A lot of fucking assaults. Net's crazy. Just phew.
Yeah, that, and then Behemoth is just in the back. Come on, knock him down.
Yeah, exactly. You're basically playing P. Krios.
Yeah, yeah.
Just less effectively.
Yeah.
So, next weekend, we are running our modified format, which is one list plus a big sideboard. Are you excited?
Yeah, I'm excited.
Any thoughts on what you're going to be playing for it?
Siege is coming to the table.
What, yeah.
Wait, this is here?
Yeah.
Oh.
So the tournament I'm running, not... the 7th, but the 14th, which should be after this comes out. It's 35 points. It's one list, and you get 15 points of sideboard.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's fucking sweet.
It's interesting.
Yep.
Can that 15 points be another caster?
I thought about that. But no.
It's also running the same weekend as that Mary Mayhem, Who's the Boss.
Yeah. Which is kind of unfortunate, but, you know.
Yeah. Again, a lot of the locals, especially as cold as it is fucking out here.
Let's face it. No one's coming to Minneapolis or Madison.
Yeah.
In the next week.
No.
Yeah.
Not with the snow we've been
getting. Nobody's traveling from here to Madison, that's for sure. No one's, and vice versa. Yeah, the Irons can go where the fuck they want. where they live, they're like, well, it's a fine day for driving. And then 2 hours, why did we do this? It's like they've got icicles running down their nose. They're fucking... their eyes are frozen shut because they're crying.
Snowdrift.
Yeah. Sideways.
Yeah.
My window's broken in the down position. This was a bad idea.
We had like 70 spinouts last weekend, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the first like 4 hours.
Yeah. When me and Todd were driving to pick up my car last night. Yeah. And yay, first snow emergency of the year. Padoosh! I got towed. Fucking amazing.
One lottery.
God. Fuck Minnesota. Seriously.
Hey, that's Minneapolis, man.
Yeah.
Out in Richfield, they don't even tow the people who do leave their cars on the road during a snow emergency.
They just plow them in.
Yeah. And then the rest of us just have driveways.
Yeah. Yeah, people were spun out last night, and it was so fucking cold. It's so crazy. It's colder than the basement.
Yeah. It's cold enough
we
outside.
We are inside.
The salt water on the roof. It was like, yeah. It just wasn't living conditions cold. Like, it was just crazy. Like, why would people move here and think that this was a fucking habitat? It doesn't even make sense.
Well, I don't understand the number of people who drive in Minnesota every fucking year that get confused by the first snow. What's going
to
happen?
The weird bit was, I was driving around during the snow, and then the next day was actually worse for traffic in terms of people acting like retards.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I would slightly understand... if the snow was coming down and you guys were freaking out and driving like assholes.
Well, a lot of it came from the packed ice.
Yeah. And a lot of people just didn't go into their offices.
I heard people thought you had gotten a new car.
What?
Casey's sensitive about this bit.
I don't know this bit. No, it has to happen.
The other day, there's a guy had come down Nicollet, and he must have had to brake and get out of the way. Yeah. And he skid and actually basically parked in the salt cave.
Oh, okay.
His car was literally at the entrance, and he was done. He had to get it towed. They had to actually have Dylan move his car so the tow truck get on the sidewalk and get the guy out of the. So I parked and I saw the car parked there on the sidewalk. I'm like,
well, that's strange. And I call up Dylan. Dylan, did Casey get a new car?
Here it goes. I'm not a fucking idiot who got himself towed, am I? Fucking retard. Eat a dick.
Look what you guys made me do. God damn it.
You jackass.
We're fair. Casey's got a point.
No, that's true. I got towed. I mean, I parked fine in the first place. It was just
yes, illegally. Like a monkey.
Oh. I was too good at parking.
Are you sure your car just didn't break down in some random spot like it normally does?
That's probably what happened. So, yeah, and then I was like, and he's like, I don't see Casey out there. I'm like, no, go out to the sidewalk. And he, like, walked out of the side. So I was sitting there in my car watching from the house, and I watched him go on the sidewalk. He turned sideways, and he immediately, like, started laughing. It was awesome.
Oh.
Minnesota.
Yeah, fucking Minnesota.
Fucking retarded drivers.
I'm going to start shopping at the source now.
God damn it, Casey. Come on. It's one of your endearing bits.
You can eat a dick.
It's one of your endearing bits. That's why everybody loves you, and you just need to embrace it and
shop at the source.
Wear it like a comfortable sweater. A comfortable Christmas sweater that everybody loves.
Make sure it's one of the coffee sweaters.
You always have people who are like, wear your ugly Christmas sweaters to the office party.
Yeah.
Right? I'm like, I've never owned an ugly Christmas sweater.
Uh-huh.
Like, is this like...
Yeah, you just wear one year round. I don't know. That was just random and mean. It didn't make sense.
He was referring to my beard.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Your beard's sweet. It's like Andy Welton light.
You say like or light?
Light.
My beard is fuller than Andy's.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Do you have a fullness measuring device?
Yeah. Hands.
How fluffy is
it? It doesn't have like that touch of gray though.
Andy's he definitely has a lot of like distinction.
Yeah, and he's got the welder's
his
beard
is longer. Yeah.
Oh, mine gets longer. I've cut mine. Oh.
Yeah, he did. That's actually a trim. Mm-hmm. That's an organized beard. Yeah. I like what's happening over there. It's okay. Yeah.
He's just getting ready for when it turns gray, he can be Santa at the mall.
That's already happened, by the way. I was like in Target one year, and I was walking to Target, and this little like 4-year-old girl was walking past me, and she turns around like, Mommy, it's Santa. I was like, oh, God.
It's from now on, red and white, Jamie.
Yeah.
Right?
You should have been like, yes, Mommy, it's Santa.
Yeah.
This lap. No, wait. Yeah. Nope, not going there.
Fuck you, Ryan.
Just throwing things around. It's fine.
We're so cold that we've resorted to throwing shit.
Trying to keep ourselves warm.
Yeah. Casey, are you cold?
No,
neither am I.
He's cold-hearted at this point.
We're just going to take random models and see if we can start fire to them. Plastic burns.
Yep.
Why is he rubbing two trolls together?
Yeah, still cold in here. I'm tempted to invite John over.
Oh.
Just to heat the place up a little bit. What?
I don't get it.
20 minutes after John Gott gets here, it'll look like the end of the thing. We'll all just, we'll just be sitting in a flaming warehouse.
Too soon.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. So the reason for my confusion is that we've had John Redmond here several times.
Oh, yeah.
And so I thought you were talking about Redmond.
I know she did too.
Now I get it.
Yeah. I was like, are we bringing back the cold? God damn it, John.
Yeah, I didn't understand.
But, yeah.
It's okay upstairs, but man, this basement, fuck.
Little chilly.
We just need to have a tournament.
Or we could just
get 12 dudes down here. That'll take care of that problem.
Just end this fucking podcast.
Yeah. Listen here, you. Do we have any TVs?
Nigel.
Minnesota.
Come on. We're having all the endearing bits that everybody loves.
Global warming. It's not trying hard enough.
Climate change.
Kick it up a notch, China.
Yeah. We need global warming to focus on the warm part, not this crazy extra highs.
We don't want any climate change, just warming. Just warming.
Just, yeah.
When Minnesota's 60 degrees year-round, we're good. I don't care what the rest of the world has.
I actually had a good TV and I forgot it. God damn it. Yeah.
I don't think I had one. Cold germs.
Yeah. The worst. Those are lame.
They are the worst.
Yeah, Alex.
Alex Grant.
Oh, Alex, fuck you, Alex.
Yeah, yeah, basically you. Patient zero.
I'm going to get all you guys sick before I got to go back to Iowa.
Yeah, we got to go find him because we can't create the cure without him, from what I understand of diseases.
That's what Outbreak taught me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
That napalm fixes then? Everything.
Alex is a monkey.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Absolutely.
He does play Craig.
Hey. Oh. Hey. End out.
All right, we're done.
We didn't have... What episode was this?
Fuck! Oh, yeah. This is episode 142.
144!
So there's that. I also wanted to bitch about Muzan Minis real quick.
Okay. I'm down.
I don't even need to listen to them to bitch about Kador,
and it's fucking driving me nuts.
Are they talking shit about the motherland?
Yes, they have no idea what they're fucking talking about.
I heard they won War Machine Weekend.
They did. Yeah. I was listening to their Friday cast, and I was like,
What did they talk about?
They know better. They know better. I hate them.
We'll get into it.
We'll
save that material for later.
Just give me a heads up on what they talked about.
I have no idea.
I don't know. They think Harkovich. Crump said at one point, I don't see what's so bad about Speed 6 Pathfinder Jax. Oh, okay, well, how about you go fuck yourself?
Yeah.
That's what's so good about it. Yeah. How about that you can allocate three fucking focus because you got so many upkeeps and it's garbage.
I kind of agree with him.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
There's nothing wrong with Speed 6 Pathfinder Jax.
There's just something horribly wrong with Harkovich.
Yeah. You just don't want that in Kador.
Right. Oh, no, I do.
Yeah,
I
but
do.
You don't want to...
Yeah.
Fucking...
You also want a corollary and an eight focus caster,
right?
Yeah. I'd like to point out that that's what they brought up immediately after that. They're like, and they brought some of the. They're like, well, if you had a corollary and whatever the fuck redistributor and a flood of patibulator, whatever all the stupid CLC was, like they basically just made him a CLC caster.
Yeah. If he was a CLC caster, he'd be legit.
Yeah. If he had twice the amount of focus, he is a CLC caster.
And then you'd be like, all the stuff that goes with them.
Well, no, then you'd be like, okay, so there's Father Lucan. Why don't I just run Father Lucan instead?
Right.
All right. Are we doing this thing?
I think we already are.
Yep.
Well, right. I thought there was an intro.
Yeah. You have an intro?